Nothing Personal, Intro to Fiction 201 by A. Larson. As soon as she lost the camera, or rather, set it on top of the car and forgot about it as they got in to drive away, Angie should have known it was an omen. 20 miles later, when she remembered, Lance said he didn't want to go back for it, that it didn't matter anyway. It was a cheap disposable camera. Angie leaned her head against the window as they drove on. She thought of that one picture of the two of them, the only one on the roll, standing on the large rock at the river's edge, Lance's arm around her shoulder. She knew just what would happen. Some stranger would find the camera and shoot the rest of the film. Maybe 3 weeks later, this same stranger would stand in a checkout line at some drugstore, flip through the photos until she got to the one of Angie and Lance. Then she would pause for a moment, confused. Who was that pretty woman with the long hair and the dark-eyed guy hanging his arm over her shoulder, so close to her neck? "Look at this," she would say to her friend, who stood next to her and smacked her gum too hard. "Look at this weird picture." And they would hold the snapshot together, see Angie staring straight ahead, and Lance looking off to the left, as if he was waiting for the ricochet of the shutter and the smear of the rapids behind them. "Think they're in love?" the stranger girl might ask.
"Think they're so busted," the sister might think.
The friend would shrug, blow a huge bubble, pop it, and suck the gum back into her mouth. "Who knows? Give me that." Then she'd toss the picture on top of a soft pretzel in the garbage can. It's not like it really matters. Angie could see it now.
And her sister could have seen it before now.
"Where do you want to go next?" asked Lance. He worked his way across the stream on the dry rock tops that stuck up above the flow of water. "Doesn't matter to me," said Angie. It had only been one day, and she already had the sense they were losing time. The aimless driving, just because he wanted to see how the Miata would handle on the hairpin curves. The smell of his shampoo orbiting her head, the purple gauze of the Great Smoky Mountains at dusk. All of it she found terribly romantic. That is, both terrible and romantic. It would be easier, she thought, if it were one or the other.
Her sister would have told her it sucked.
She hung her running shoes around her neck by the laces and tried to remember which rock Lance had stepped on next. Though the stream was not deep, she was in her bare feet and had to avoid the mossy places or she'd fall in. Lance watched Angie's breasts move under her halter top as she balanced herself. "You fall in, I've got no rope," he called to her. "So you'll have to dive in and rescue me," she answered, pleased when he smiled. "Yeah? I thought your kind of woman would want to rescue herself." "My kind of woman never met your kind of man before," she heard herself say. "Too coy?" she wondered immediately.
"I'm going to vomit," thought her sister.
Lance laughed out loud and stood up suddenly, strode directly through the water that came halfway up his leg. When he got to the rock where Angie had stopped, he shaded his eyes from the sun and looked at her. She could tell he knew she was crazy about him. He probably even knew she found him mesmerizing. "Want a ride?" he asked. And before she could answer, he'd grabbed her by the knees and carried her to the bank.
And fell, cause she was chubba lubba.
They licked melted chocolate bars from foil wrappers and sat facing each other in the shade with their legs wrapped around the other's waist. Angie's heart ached with the fortune of the days to come.
"This is getting out of hand," thought the sister, feeling kind of sad.
Angie felt tenderness, an overwhelming sweetness for Lance that nearly made her giddy. She laughed in church when others didn't. She skipped her favorite psychology class. She didn't call her mother. She thought of him as she was getting her teeth cleaned at the dentist's, or when she rounded the tall oak that marked the 2 mile point of her daily run. She bought a new bra, kept her evenings free just in case, drove past his apartment for no reason. Consequently, she didn't think twice about jumping on a plane to Alabama to meet him for this whatever it was. He'd sent her the ticket on a whim, tucked in a box of 11 roses. "You're near perfect," he'd written.
O.M.G.
Lance was so easy to be with, so cavalier and unfettered by the little inconveniences that kept popping up. He shrugged off the camera thing, didn't mind the rain, felt certain they'd get a room in Gatlinburg when all the hotel signs said no vacancy. It was almost ridiculous, she thought, how wonderful all of this felt. She considered the possibility that she was acting foolishly, playing with fire in a sense, but this was easily dismissed by the narcotic of her feelings for him. She didn't mind that he didn't talk much. He was enigmatic, she figured. She did not find his stoicism distancing. She didn't notice the little things that might have dislodged what she felt was her first real brimming over sense of passion.
Time to flush, thought the sister.
Lance had said the first thing he noticed about Angie when they'd met 3 months before was how she ran her tongue along her lips, a nervous sort of action, those full lips. He had smiled. They looked good enough to eat.
Little did he know that A's been doing this lip thing since she got her braces off 3 years ago, and no one in their right mind thinks it's sexual. Seriously.
Angie looked in the mirror and tried to see herself objectively. She knew men wanted to go out with her because of how she looked. Was it her hair? Nice, but not extraordinary. Her eyes? Not especially big, though an odd gray-blue. Her lashes long and dark. She was lucky she knew that they didn't need mascara.
Okay, go her, but her sister has better hair.
There had been others who dressed her in compliments, but not like this. Something different with Lance, something more intense. He stared at her often, even when she told him it made her uncomfortable. Once he settled his eyes on her while she talked nervously around his silence. What's the matter? She had finally asked him. You're so pretty, he'd said, and inhaled deeply. I like to be seen with you. Then why, she wondered, in the pit of her stomach, did she feel a tightness forming? Just nerves, she decided. The general uneasiness everyone goes through in the beginning of a relationship when you know you're just falling in love. This would pass as she got to know him better. After a while, he surely would not stare at her anymore. He'd get to know her for herself.
Or not.
Yesterday, after swimming in the hotel pool, after sex, he had bitten her, tenderly, one might say, just above her cleavage. There, he had said. Now the next guy to see those will know they belong to me.
At which point her sister wanted to vomit.
It was more than an odd gesture, Angie thought. It was, well, it was like being branded.
And vomit again.
After her shower, the bruise on her breast like a butterfly, she stepped out of the bathroom and said, "Look what you did to me." She stood in the doorway with her towel clutched around her and tapped her chest.
Crap, she thought. My sister's going to freak when she finds out I was this naked with this dude.
Lance turned his head from the TV and frowned, let his eyes move up and down her body. Maybe you shouldn't be here, he had said.
For a moron, he was right.
Angie bit her lip. Her hand fluttered over her chest. What did that mean, shouldn't be here? Was it the 4 days together, the longest they'd been alone with each other? Was it something she had done? Was it yesterday when the guy at In-N-Out Burgers said, with, "Hi, I'm Brent," on his name tag, leaned on the counter and asked her, how do you like your meat?
At which point, she became a vegetarian.
What's the matter, she had whispered to Lance when Brent went to wrap up her burger. Just keep your tongue in your mouth, Lance said, and put his hand in her back pocket, gave it a little yank.
Ooh, sexy.
When Brent returned with their food and held the sack out to Angie, Lance leaned on the counter, kept track of Angie's face. See something you like, he asked, as she looked at Brent. He plucked the sack from Brent's hands and steered Angie out the door.
Because she had mysteriously lost the ability to put one foot in front of the other. What up with that shit?
After Angie dried her hair and they'd packed up the car again, she smoothed suntan lotion on her thighs. Lance seemed restless. He did not ask, "Where to today? Pick a place, any place." He did not offer to help her with the lotion, no matter how slowly, how deliberately she applied it.
Get some friends, thought her sister.
He'd purchased a map in the hotel lobby and had folded it to a particular part of the state. He looked at his watch. Let's get moving. It's hotter than hell. It was only 30 minutes later when he told her he was getting bored with this vacation, just spending it with her, and he wanted to go to Spirit Lake to find Gary and Midge. Lance said the couple went up to the lake nearly every other weekend, so their chances of catching them there were 50-50, which had to be better than this discussing our relationship that Angie kept wanting to do. This is supposed to be a vacation, Lance said as he jerked the convertible top up against the coming rain. This is supposed to be fun, goddammit. Angie let the wind jiggle her head as it darted in her open window. How wildly ironic that it should goddamn rain, she thought. When she'd packed her suitcase last week, she had envisioned a mirage of romance in front of her, as thick and sweet as homemade caramels. She was unprepared for rain and moodiness, for emotional vacancy.
More like bankruptcy.
At the gas station, she flipped him off behind his back and felt better, until she saw that the woman in the next car had seen her do this. Then she felt embarrassed and slid down in her seat. Lance got back in the car, pulled out her CD, and put in one of his own. His fingers tapped the key in the ignition. "Look," he said quietly, "this isn't about you." He reached for her arm. "You see somebody else sitting here?" Angie answered. She stared out the window at the woman sliding fresh lipstick over her normal-sized mouth. Her foot tapped the floor.
"And a one and a two."
"Look, I mean, I can't give you what you want." "Yeah?" She looked at him. "What is it I want?" "You want me. And you're married."
Holy crap, she thought. She had forgotten to tell her sister the dude was married.
"That has nothing to do with it," Lance said, "with this. You just can't have me. It's nothing personal." "But you can have me."
No, 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 no. She hoped she really didn't say that.
"That's your choice," Lance said, like he was presenting her with a deal she'd negotiated. A student loan, maybe, that had seemed initially like it was going to be no problem, a real deal.
That reminded her she owed her sister $20.
Angie turned away, her mouth empty. Her feelings for him did not feel like her choice. The rain, for example, the goddamn rain, not her choice. She could hear it on the roof. Rivulets formed on the windshield as he wound the car through thin curves. It was 200 miles to Spirit Lake. Time flew, Angie discovered, even when you were not having fun.
Except in Trig. Time never flew in Trig.
Angie closed the vinyl menu and traced her finger around the coffee cup on the cover. "I guess I'll go ahead and have the cheeseburger too," she said. "If it comes with grits, I'll know I died and went straight to hell." She considered asking the waitress if they had whole wheat buns, but she knew Gary or Midge might spout water through their noses if she asked for something extraordinary. She saw they hadn't even opened their menus. They would probably order cheeseburgers in a vegetarian restaurant. Midge busied herself blowing smoke rings, and Gary looped them on his left pinky, the one with the big ring on it. Lance looked at Angie with his hands laced behind his head and his half-smile on. Since they had hooked up with Gary and Midge, he seemed happier. He liked to be seen with her. "See what I went and got me?" Gary had nodded his head. "Yep, she's hot."
"You are okay."
"That it then, sugar?" asked the waitress. A puff of breath parted her bangs, and she directed one blue eye toward Angie. The other eye veered right and trembled by itself. "Y'all want anything with that?" "Well," Angie started, unnerved by the restless eye, "I'd rather not have sugar in the iced tea if that's possible. Or is it already made up with sugar in it? Seems it usually is in restaurants down here." The waitress, Luann on the name tag, leaned her elbow on Lance's shoulder. "How about that little doll? She plenty sweet already? Awful damn cute, if nothing else." "Never mind," Angie shook her head. "I'll just have water. Without that chipped ice, please." Lance smiled. "She's not from around here." "Nah." Luann's working eye followed his slow gaze down to her cleavage. "See something else you'd like?" she asked Angie, then tucked her pencil between her breasts and turned back to the kitchen. No need to wait for a reply. Angie sighed and stacked the menus. What some women won't do, she thought. The world is going straight to hell. She shaded her eyes from the afternoon light that streamed through the window and looked Lance over for the 50th time that day. He was hot, good looking, and he had money. Everything she always thought she wanted in a man. She would make it work. She would find a way. His wife was probably a bitch, right? Angie wondered why she didn't think more about that wife, why she thought about Lance as if he could be hers.
Like herpes could be hers, or mono.
"Let's dance," said Gary to Midge, and they moved around the diner, leaning in and out of each other slowly, though the song on the jukebox was fast. Angie watched them, their smooth movements, their barely perceptible swaying. Midge's wrist poised behind Gary's neck. The ashes from her cigarette grew long and curved until there was nothing but the filter, and still they did not detach. Except for the four of them, and Luann, and the cook, the place was empty. Outside, it was Angie's favorite time of day, in late summer, when the sunlight leaned back and sifted long strands of honey through threadbare clouds. The The shimmer of light alone could make you stagger. She felt the heat on her bare shoulders and moved her head to one side so she could see Lance's face. This is the perfect time of day, she thought, to wind through mountain roads in a small car with the top down and be with just one other person who will listen to the music you like to hear.
Envycore. They rock.
But they'd done that. Then Lance had pulled into the gravel parking lot here, shielded his eyes from the sun, walked in, tossed the keys on the center of the table, and gone to select Aretha Franklin's Chain of Fools on the jukebox. He was over there singing Cha-Cha-A-Chain in his best twang and grinding his hips toward her in a way that made him laugh. In spite of herself, she held her chin in her hand and watched until the song was over.
Shit, she thought. I miss my sis.
Midge sat down at the table and balanced her ankles on Gary's lap. Rabbit food, he grumbled as he funneled through the French dressing on his salad. Strange, Angie thought, that Gary wasn't really a good friend of Lance's. He was just a guy at the warehouse who did what he was told and asked no questions about Lance's personal life. The kind of guy Lance liked. The perfect friend, he'd said. Gary shoved his bowl forward and pulled Midge closer, as if there were no one else in the room. Angie looked at her and noticed the particular features. Short, dark hair, pendulous breasts and skinny legs, ankle bracelet. Her midriff was somewhat thick. This part is more Ken than Barbie, Midge had said this morning, patting her stomach. But I've got to have my beer. Fuck the calories. She had one of those rear ends that was flat as a book. When she'd caught Angie looking her over, she'd winked and said, "Yeah, Gary has me on my back so much I about rubbed my ass off." Angie had asked her how long she and Gary had been married. Midge stared at her and grinned. "Gary's married to someone else, honey, and so am I. What do you think you're doing with Lance? Other women's husbands. Something about the fires of hell. Mm-hmm." She laughed and picked at the curls on her forehead.
That looked like snakes, 'cause she was a skank.
It was true, Angie had thought, as she stumbled outside into the shrill Alabama sun. She was bound for hell. She had first thought of this after Lance's wife answered the phone that one time, yet she managed the fitful sleep that followed, flipping in her bed like a pancake on a griddle. What was so betwitching about the fires of hell? Did it really matter that he was married? What was his problem? That was his problem, right? She thought. When Lance's wife answered, "This is his wife. Could I help you or take a message? Angie had been too panicked to speak and quickly hung up the phone. She went and got another beer, and then another, until she fell asleep in a spongy land of dreams where she was singing, but it sounded like screaming, and she was driving, but the scenery never changed. Lance mentioned Angie's name, and she looked up, startled at the sound of it. He rarely said her name aloud, seemed almost embarrassed at times to do so. Angie caught his eye and realized he was not speaking to her. Her heart swung in her throat. So Angie was standing there holding a tennis racket, and the guy kept tripping over himself just to touch her, mess with her hair, adjust the damn racket. Lance was describing the photographer's actions during the shoot he'd stopped by to watch at the fitness club last week. Christ, this guy was laying it on so thick he had to wade through it, he told Gary. He said Angie was a demure 20-year-old with an arresting beauty. Give me a fucking break. Probably what he wanted, said Gary and winked. He leaned over and whispered in Midge's ear until she laughed. Only one night before, in a hotel in Tennessee, had he gotten close to saying her name when he'd whispered, "Look, Ange, one person just can't matter this much." And he'd looked past her over the small balcony into the solid dark sky. He rubbed the skin on her shoulders with his palms. "Ange," he'd said, "Ange." As if the rest of her name would take up too much space in his mouth.
Never mind that his mouth was already full of bullshit.
Lance remembered yet another funny story about how Angie had to wait for over 8 hours at the airport before he could get away from his wife to come pick her up for this vacation. Gary guffawed and slapped the table until the bowls rattled and quivered. In fact, this seemed to be funnier than the story Lance told 10 minutes ago about some 19-year-old girl he met and took out last week, whose father was waiting on the porch with a shotgun when he brought her home at 3 a.m. "Can you believe that shit?" he laughed.
"This shit is unbelievable."
Angie thought, yes, she could believe it. Yes, she could fondle the trigger. She She remembered how abandoned she had felt at the airport, how humiliated. She had sat there waiting for 8 hours and imagined him mangled and dead among the broken pieces of his car, or in bed with his wife in a sweaty embrace. She was willing to allow the time with his wife. After all, he was confused, but hadn't thought she could bear her future empty of him.
Nobody needs this crap. Repeat after me. Bye-bye. You will be okay.
By the time Lance actually showed up, she had counted all the tiles between her seat and the women's restroom 5 times, thought only once about calling her parents and explaining just what the hell she was doing in Alabama. She watched other people met by beaming faces and open arms, and she had promised God repeatedly that she would turn right around and get back on a plane if he would please, oh please, let Lance not be dead. Then all of a sudden, as if it were bound to happen all along, Lance was there, whole and alive, like a sniper. He kissed her long and hard, sucked her bottom lip into his mouth in front of an airport full of strangers, and said, "Let's hit it. I'm double parked."
"'Cause I have 2 assholes, and one is my mouth, and I'm talking shit here."
How was it that in the midst of what seemed like such a good idea, her life was right here, now?
But she'd be okay. She would.
Angie started out loud with her own version of the wait at the airport story, before she realized Gary and Midge were simply looking at her, wondering when she was going to finish. They would not offer condolences, it was clear. In fact, she could see that they found her indignance amusing. Gary said, "Well, hell, Lance, I'd have picked her up for you, a babe like her. Of course, then you'd have had to wait a few hours before I got her back to you." And he looked at Angie with a wink. Those gray eyes, that face, sunstruck and all leather, clearly used to pretending. Gary was an idiot, she decided, an absolute asshole. Who the hell did he think he was?
"Go, Angie. It's your birthday."
Gary and Lance talked about some boat Gary wanted Lance to buy from him, and Midge blew smoke out of her mouth and then sucked it right back in her nostrils. It made her look as if her lips were vaporizing. Angie tried not to stare at Midge and remembered that the first time she saw her do this, it was boring after the first 10 minutes. She looked around the cafe. Luann was doing a crossword puzzle at the counter. "What's a 3-letter word for beseech?" she asked the cook. "Be what?" he answered. This is what it must be like, Angie thought, just before you lose your mind. You lose all your perspective and suddenly everything is totally weird and freaky. Who were these people, really? What in the hell was she doing here? The weight of that felt enough to knock her over like an anvil just behind her forehead. Her neck could snap like old taffy. She got herself to lean forward to maybe keep from falling backward, and she struggled to reimagine her life before this. She thought about crying or not crying.
She thought about how pissed off she really was, how she'd like to tattoo his ass with a panini grill. Maybe she'd ask her sis to rip off one from Panera and they would go toast this dude. Shit, that reminds me. I need to ask off tomorrow so we can go skating. Skating rocks!
"Yoo-hoo!" sang Midge, waving her hand in Angie's face. "I said, don't you think so, too?" "Think what?" Angie heard herself ask. "That variety is the spice of life," Midge announced. "I mean, one man isn't always enough for one woman. Let's keep things interesting. Ask Gary. He's a regular ladies' man. Hell, ask his wife." She snorted and laughed. Gary smiled. "What wife?" He arranged his large elbows on the table. Lance said, "I should bring Kathy here sometime. I think she'd like it." Luann sashayed over just in time to plunk down the burgers. "Hey, y'all know a 3-letter word for beseech?" "Beg," said Lance. "Well, well, well," said Midge. "What time do you get off, doll?" said Gary, his hand on Luann's back. She smiled at Angie and leaned over as she set Gary's plate down in front of him. "That depends on how long it takes you." "Nice," said Midge, "real nice," and swung her legs under the table, blew smoke at the waitress. "Get along now, little doggie." "Ooh, you ought to get her a leash," said Luann, and patted Gary's shoulder as she left.
"Luann's got balls."
The blood started thrashing in Angie's temples. What the hell? What was this planet where there was neither a sense of gravity nor respect? Blank faces hunched over burgers. Midge flicked her ashes on the floor. Angie knew, after all, that it didn't make any difference what she thought. Gary and Midge and Lance were myopic.
and she liked big words.
"Hey," she said to nobody in particular, "does the noise in my head bother you?"
"'Cause my sister could sure as shit hear it."
Gary and Midge frowned and shrugged, and Lance looked annoyed. He watched her over his drink. "Get it together," he said quietly. But the racket in her ears was so loud she yelled over it, "Pass the damn ketchup." "Whoa," said Midge, and handed her the red plastic bottle. "Don't have yourself a hissy fit, Sheba." Angie squirted thin red zigzags on her burger. She measured her breath in small doses and searched the room again for something to distract her. Her eyes careened around Luann and the steady clink chink of silverware being wrapped. Finally, on the right, behind the long counter, was an equally long mirror. There her face stared back at her, poised, tanned, irrelevant. No doubt about it, a large paper doll. She closed her eyes and had the vague sense of a fist around her heart, something like a laugh or a scream dissolved in her throat.
Or maybe it was one of those waffle fries that wasn't all the way cooked.
When she looked up again, Midge was still smoking, and Gary was punching little holes in his bun with his straw and then blowing the pieces of bread at Midge, looking to shoot one through the smoke rings. Lance was leaning his chair back on two legs, his knees against the edge of the table, his plate clean and untroubled. There was that smile on his face again, the one she would have walked over cut glass for yesterday. "Lance?" she asked. "Yeah, doll, what do you need?" He eased his chair back down on all fours. "Besides me, I mean." Angie stared at him. He was everything she had thought she wanted. He was more pain than she could have imagined. She leaned into the table to, maybe just by looking at him, gather his face, pull something about him towards her, and she searched his eyes for anything in there, God, anything, to put her arms around.
But he was full of shit, and so all she saw in the dude was the shit that he was.
He noticed her staring at him, squinting harder to see, and he said, "Hey, Earth to Angie, you gonna eat your burger or what? I got things to do, places to go, people to see."
"Fuck off, douchebag," said Angie. "You're wasting my time, and I wish I had hair like Kelsey's. Her hair is the man." "Yo, A-Dog."
"Shh, you're sleeping."
"I found this, story on your comp after you came home today with that, "Way, I'm so stressed from college excuse." "Good one. Is this seriously for a class? I told you Lyle was an asshole. Might want to change the name, though, because that's like if I wrote a story and called the girl Kelly instead of Kelsey. I fixed the ending, so you should totally add that. Now it rocks. But I think you should call the dude's wife. For real. I'd do it for you, but I don't want to piss you off, so we'll talk when you wake up, okay? Don't show this to Mom, though. She'll crap. Ha! Gotta go to cross-country prac. Kel sizzle!"